Louisa Beale with Radio Tacoma. With me today is Julian Wheeler, who is the Democratic elector for the 10th Congressional District of Washington. We were going to talk about what the electors did and where the vote count was sent, but there are some things we need to talk about before that. On January 6th, 2021, the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. was attacked and breached. And in Washington State, a mob broke through the fence at Governor Inslee's residence in Olympia. And there were some other events closer to home. I will let Julian explain. So, Julian, I understand that you had a very disturbing incident. Can you tell us about that?
Right. That Monday, January 4, being a Monday, whether you like or dislike Mondays, it started out like pretty much any other Monday in my life, and which included the daily errands around the house. And then it wasn't until the afternoon that I set upon getting ready to do some yard work, and so opened the back door and found on that porch a note, and it said, MAGA, death to electors. The tone of the message, not knowing the voice of the writer, I saw the note, and basically, this is not good. This is serious. This is a threat.
Well, Julian sounds quite calm. There was much emotional turmoil. So you saw this note, you read this note, and then what? What was your response?
I actually, at the moment, I had a very strange sensation, which I hadn't felt in a while. And then I realized now, thinking back, that what it was is a sensation that I last felt when I was serving in the Army, when our unit was notified in formation, when we were in formation, and our commander informed us during the announcements that we were going to deploy in 6 months. It was a moment of serious reflection, and as I was going home that day, I worked through my feelings and decided that whatever the risk of death is, this is the U.S. Army, and this is what I signed up for. That's when I personally accepted the deployment, given whatever it would possibly do to us. So, strangely enough, as I, you know, may I when I left, what I did is I left the note where it was. You know, I just decided not to try to move it. It was as I, you know, certainly anticipated, evidence in a crime. So I just backed up, closed the door, and this is to be expected, I thought. When the Secretary of State's office notified the electors that there was a public records request. This was in mid-October. We were given the opportunity to object. But if we were going to object, we would actually have to do so with an affidavit to kind of give a reason, like a compelling reason, why we would not want our personal contact information disclosed. And that's what the request was for our personal contact information. And at the time, I thought, I don't have a reason. I always knew. I thought, well, if there's an incident, I have confidence in my local police department that were anything to begin happening, I would call the police. And I don't live far from the police headquarters. They would be here in it. And in fact, that's what happened.
And this is the case report for this incident. LPD case number 21-00401257. On Monday, January 4th, 2021, the victim, Julian F. Wheeler, a Lakewood resident and former 2020 presidential elector, found a note on the porch of his home. It contained the message, "MAGA, death to electors." Upon in-person contact with Lakewood police and an on-site investigation, evidence was secured. The case remains active. Tips or information can be called into the Lakewood Police Department, 253-830-5000. Many thanks to the Lakewood Police Department.
We're thinking back to a press conference with the president when he said that he wasn't really ready to commit to a peaceful transition. I thought that was pre-election rhetoric, that he was just trying to, you know, keep his voters in line and ensure his own victory. But there was, as we now know in hindsight, chatter among the various groups regarding January 6th.
On December 14th, the electors met in Olympia to put their vote in writing, certifying the election. This packet of votes was sent to Congress and the National Archives. You may watch this process on tvw.org. Search for Washington State Electoral College event.
Events of December 14, they certainly went as planned. And it was the part that we were expecting that would kind of resolve, or rather we thought should resolve, the presidential election, given the existence of the United States Electoral College. It was pretty much a time for expressing and even venting our sense of relief at bringing the President Trump era to a close. And the hope was that would we bring it to a peaceful conclusion. Personally, it was also a chance, given the opportunity to make remarks for each of us, to reflect on the moment. And since a few of us knew that there would be such an opportunity, we wrote out our remarks in advance and were able to, at minimum, you know, adequately give expression to what we thought. So I raised my hand at the opportunity, and Secretary of State Kim Wyman called on me first. So I went into my written remarks and expressed some themes that were running for a long time in my life, but also up to the moment of what it represented for us, for myself that day. And I would say that it's unique in the sense that I had never come into a moment where I mattered individually on such a national and historic scale. But to really carry out a constitutional duty that is unique to myself, and let's say, not to overstate the uniqueness, you know, because there were 537 other people in the country doing the same thing that day, but it was a time to take a moment and to breathe a sigh of relief, not only that our state, that we were able to cast our electoral votes in accordance with our party principles, but the fact that our state was able to be one of many whose votes would prevail in the presidential election. So after we actually did the whole meeting, you know, we were escorted very gently out of the Senate chamber, and we did some socially distant or lockdown compliant mingling. It was the kind of moment of, as the time would pass on and, you know, as it would fade in memory, you know, there were moments to meet with reporters and to share one's experiences. I thought, nah. So I kind of was quicker on my feet to get out to get out of there and eventually back home. And that was pretty much what I thought it was going to be.
Unless you are living in a cave, in which case you won't be hearing this, you know that on January 6th, there was an insurrection at our nation's capital, killing 5 people and endangering the lives of our representatives. Many of us watched in horror as these events unfolded. Julian was one of those people who followed this riot as it happened.
January 6th, the day set in the United States Code since the mid-20th century as the Electoral College vote count day with the joint session of Congress. In a way, when the electors were in touch with each other, as we were, we actually found ourselves taking this more personally because those are our votes they were counting. And as the session began, there was more relief, like, you know, mixed with pride. And then by approximately 11:15 a.m. our time, you know, then came unplanned recess and the word through C-SPAN that there had been a security breach. I was, like many people, took the time out to log on and to do some scrolling. And, you know, it was on my laptop that I was watching C-SPAN live. And then I was multitasking, and then I found pictures of the U.S. Senate chamber with the rostrum occupied by someone who was clearly at least not dressed for the moment, pumping a fist.
Well, they're putting it lightly.
In a way, a conservative approach to describing what happened, but I knew something was up when I saw that picture in the Senate chambers with someone who was not the president of the Senate. And I said, oh, this is serious. And of course, as has been reported, the breaches were serious. Not to get ahead of myself, I actually took pains to make sure that I would at least watch the moment that our state's Electoral College votes would clear Congress. And then, as it turned out, shortly thereafter, the session was adjourned, and with the all the votes having been counted, and once again feeling relief, a sense that I think we're entitled to by now, that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, that their election was duly certified. And just to reflect on some of the themes throughout from December 14 on, because then, at least from November 5th on, there were all the reports of the cases brought to court, the lawsuit of the Trump legal team. And then, in the course of that, talk of affidavits, talk of fraud, irregularities, the rebuttal that none of that was true. And then in about approximately 60 instances of judges appointed by a variety of presidents, including President Trump and President Obama, ruling against the Trump legal team. So the Trump's team, you know, losing in court. And so while it would seem, you know, excessive to some that it was excessive to sue, particularly when it was baseless, at least the rulings gave it an extra layer of validity because it seemed to be not enough to say that the election departments all over the country and in battleground states had audited, had counted, in some cases recounted, then audited, another round of recounts, and then certified, but that the courts affirmed that those elections with their results were legitimate. So we had that going forward to the end of 2020. And so I was pretty much taking at least at minimum a sense of pride in taking part in this election. And in a way, up to the end of the year, up to January 1st, that I had played a significant but small role in this process, but also in this story. And that by January 1st, I was looking at what was coming up and thought, this will be interesting to see play out. But my hopes and prayers were that what should happen would happen, that the joint session of Congress would certify.
These are sad times. I see people who are moved to violence by the big lie, people who listen to and believe this past president that he won the election. This is despite the fact that he filed and lost over 60 lawsuits contesting election processes, vote counting, and the vote certification process in multiple states. Each court stated that there had been no evidence of fraud. Even the Supreme Court declined to hear his case, even though he had appointed three of the justices. But those that I heard talk about why they stormed the Capitol were convinced that all the state election officials, all the judges, and all the congresspeople who voted to certify the electoral votes were traitors. I am saddened that there is no way these people will give up the big lie. And I am saddened that this cancer extends throughout our country, from D.C. to Olympia to Lakewood, and even tiny little Fircrest. In the yard next door, there is a yard sign that reads, "We believe Black Lives Matter. No human is illegal. Love is love. Women's rights are human rights. Science is real. Water is life. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." Last week, someone stenciled in red paint a hammer and sickle on the sidewalk in front of that yard sign. Underneath the hammer and sickle was the word traitor. One of the city council's members was kind enough to pressure wash the stencil off the sidewalk. I was told that there were other stencils in front of those same "We Believe" signs. This saddens me on several counts. First, that someone would do this anonymously and not engage in a discussion of why they felt it was important. And second, it saddens me that apparently they don't know the difference between communism and respect for our fellow citizens. I suspect that they don't know the difference between communism and democratic socialism, which Bernie Sanders supports and is the system of government in Sweden, Norway, Germany, France, and many other countries around the world. And it really saddens me that Julian Wheeler, who does his civic duty and respects the rule of law, received a death threat. Thank you for standing up, Julian, and thank you for your courage.
Thank you, Lisa.